So I want to start by saying thank you for welcoming me here, and my little one who's downstairs. I had a warm greeting coming through the doors, and then here as Roberta introduced me, and I was going to say thank you to her too, but she's downstairs already. It's a wonderful opportunity that the North Toronto Cluster of Churches decided to share our gifts, to share our voices with one another, and to listen and learn with each other. Now, I am an off-the-charts introvert, so telling stories about myself is not top on my list of favorite activities. It's a little absurd that I'm here as a minister, and that's the point that I'm getting to because I've been spending the last couple of weeks thinking about these words from Paul that we've just heard, and what to say about them to you today. And I decided that I'd tell you just a little bit about my call story, at least to start. It's about how my ending up here and our being here today might seem absurd. So 2 millennia ago, Paul wrote, "For the message of the cross is complete absurdity to those who are headed to ruin. But to us who are experiencing salvation, it is the power of God." The translation I'm reading from today is from the Inclusive Bible, and I chose it because I think their translation of these words of his offers us two phrases we don't see in other places that allow the meaning of the passage, Paul's meaning, to unfold. Just like the petals of a flower leading to an unexpected beauty. And those two phrases are complete absurdity and experiencing salvation. Now, you also heard the phrase headed to ruin. I'm going to set that one aside with nothing more than a note that if our ongoing refusal to acknowledge and act on the effects of climate change to the best of individual and collective power means that headed to ruin feels like far too generous language for the huge ecological devastation and global impacts that have only just begun. Okay, let's go back to absurdity. The message of the cross appears to be complete absurdity. I was working on my PhD, on my way to becoming an academic, when I had the realization that it wasn't what I should be doing. And my life began to unravel. Suddenly, that certainty I thought I'd had about who I was and where I was going was gone. A week or two later, I was standing on a street corner, waiting for a friend, and thinking, "What can I do?" When a voice arose from within, fully formed, and completely unexpected, "You could be a minister." And my life continued to unravel. Just a few months earlier, I'd been talking to a friend who was about to move to continue his own academics. And he mentioned he didn't know what to do with all of his books. We were English students, which explains all of the books. "My church has a book sale coming up if you'd like to donate them," I said. "You go to church?" he asked, completely surprised. So now, I was feeling called to ministry when people didn't even know I went to church. I thought about this in personal terms. It's completely absurd that I'm feeling called to ministry when people don't even know that my faith is important to me. And then when I began studies a few years later at Emmanuel College, once again a student, a perpetual student, we talked about the future of the church. And for those of us who are relatively young, like myself, We had to come to terms with the decline of the church, the conversations about what was happening to the church in the world, at least the Western world today. Who would choose to be a minister in these times, especially if they weren't planning on retiring in the next 5 to 10 years? It's completely absurd. But it's not just a question for those in ministry, because it's no longer the case that there is an expectation that we attend church. For each of us, here today, there are other things we could be doing this morning. We could be sleeping in, playing or watching sports, or skiing, traveling, going out for brunch, working, reading a good book, shopping, and the list goes on. And instead, here we are, making the choice to be here when many might say it's completely absurd. Why spend our time on this? And all of this apparent absurdity before we even consider what the message of the cross, as Paul says, actually is. Part of the reason it seems absurd is because others assume that being Christian means a certain thing. We can be afraid of talking about it because we don't want to be grouped in with other people who might use it as a form of passing judgment, who might pretend that God's love means that we should not be loving, that we should draw lines. But it's not just absurd because of our worries about how other people understand their faith. Because Paul is talking about the message of the cross. It's not about an event, but a message. And that's when it gets so much harder, because it doesn't matter if you literally believe that the events happened. That one's up to you. But it does matter that we believe in the message. What is the message of the cross? It's not about a literal understanding of the stories, but about a bigger truth about the nature of God that is revealed in the person of Jesus. What is the message of the cross that appears to be complete absurdity? It is a message of love, constant, unconditional, vulnerable love. It is a message that God is not distant, not looking on at us in an all-powerful, approving way about how things are. Instead, God is present in the midst and in the worst of suffering. And God's vision of the world is far greater than our self-interest and short-sightedness. What is the message of the cross that appears to be complete absurdity? It is a message of love, constant, unconditional, vulnerable love. It is the message of a poor, itinerant man who gave up a good trade in order to talk to some people about a seemingly impossible vision of the world. And that message is, my love accepts suffering rather than self-preservation. My love acts bravely for justice and truth rather than allowing the threat of power to silence me. My love will cost me everything. My reputation, my friends, my life, and I will love all the same. This is the message of the cross, even when death is inevitable, because those who have power will not stand to be criticized, and even less to open their own doors and grow and change, God does not turn away. This is what Jesus did. It doesn't take omniscience to figure out that challenging those in power is not a good idea for your lifespan, particularly when they carry spears. And that being seen as inciting rebellion will not end well. Yet Jesus continued to teach and travel. He broke the rules. He challenged people's assumptions. And he spoke about the need for love and justice. He reminded everyone that God's vision of the world was greater than the Roman Empire's. And again, when he could have stopped and turned away and kept himself safe, instead, he continued to act according to his faith. Complete absurdity. And complete absurdity to follow this man, a sacred being who would be vulnerable, who would be hurt and killed. Yet, that's what the stories tell us his followers, his disciples, did. The fishermen who dropped their nets and followed without a word, who gave up good jobs and plans for the future for the sake of something and someone greater. Of course, they didn't realize then the loss they would experience and the danger they'd face. But how much more absurd to follow this man now, knowing the demands he makes of us, knowing the risk and work and suffering of love that he calls us to. Complete absurdity. For the message of the cross is complete absurdity to those who are headed to ruin, but to us who are experiencing salvation, it's the power of God. Don't worry, I'm almost done. But I wanted to mention one more thing that I love about this translation. Because rather than saying, who are being saved, we read, who are experiencing salvation. This message of the cross, this message of love, does not lead to being saved as a one-time act with a distant reward. Instead, salvation is an ongoing experience. Not a distant or future hope, but something already happening right here and right now. And rather than being saved, where someone else does all that acting for us, we just allow it to happen. Experiencing salvation is something that we can contribute to, something that we can be a part of creating. And so I followed this difficult call into ministry. And so the disciples left their nets and followed. And so you came here this Sunday. And you'll come back on other days. And so we follow this remarkable man, even when he demands us to do more, to risk more, to love more. This is the message of the cross that appears to be complete absurdity. It is a message of love, constant, unconditional, vulnerable love. This love is the power of God. So here we are. Loved and called to love. Thanks be to God.